61 is where we gather the most interesting people in or visiting Atlanta, as today's guest is, and celebrate our community with insight, wisdom, and hopefully a lot of fun thrown in the mix. Although today there will be no John Wilkes Booth jokes or anything to do with domestic violence, since it didn't work on the Academy Awards, I'm not going to try it today. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. And on the side, I've written a couple of books called The Heart of Networking, and I have the privilege of speaking about networking on a regular basis in Atlanta and around the country, and I'm proud to be a native Atlantan. I'm very excited that today I'm going to be joined by our producer, Mr. Kevin Finn, who's a brilliant young man and is a master not only at the control board, but he's a very accomplished host as well. Kevin will jump in from time to time, but thank you very much, Kevin, for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me here. I'm excited about this premiere show.
Well, we're excited about it, and hopefully the bottles of vodka in front of us will get us through the next hour, and the audience will enjoy it as well.
Oh, yeah.
For a little background information, Booth 61 is located in the iconic OK Cafe, located in Atlanta, Georgia's prestigious Buckhead community. Back in the late 1990s and early 2000s, I was known to have breakfast at the OK Cafe 5 days every single week. We'd get together and we'd discuss technology, I'd make a few introductions, we'd share insider information, and we'd break bread. And I believe that some of my greatest learning experiences in life have come around a table, and I'm sure a lot of other people's have as well. Whether it was listening to my mom and dad at the dinner table, or maybe sharing a meal with friends, colleagues, or others in the community, our goal on Booth 61 will be to open our table to a wider audience so that more people can become part of the fabric of our community. Sound like it makes sense to you, Kevin?
That makes great sense.
Well, there's so much going on in Atlanta today, and before I introduce our guest, I wanted to maybe hit some of the highlights of things that are going on in the community that many of you know about, and some of you maybe want to be up to date and check it out, Google it, because Atlanta's really a vibrant place to be living right now. Silicon Valley and certainly Austin and Boston are very exciting technology communities, but Atlanta is exploding, and I am so glad to be part of it. Many of you may have read recently about the 4 or 5 new data centers that are going to be developed in the Alpharetta area. General Motors is doing one. The state is funding one. It's going to be an exciting time in our community, and recently, Elavon, which is a company in the payment space, and many people know that Atlanta is becoming a payment space capital with Fiserv and First Data moving their operation here. So it's really exciting time in that space. And a great group of people is Elavon, and they're creating a new mobile lab platform that's pretty exciting. A lot of people are talking about it. David Cummings, of course, as most people listening will know, is Atlanta's technology entrepreneurial boy wonder.
I love David.
Yeah, David's a great guy. He has just sold a business, and what I love about David is instead of taking his money and going to the Bahamas, the beach, or wherever it might be, David is actually plowing his money back into the community, and that's how Silicon Valley was built, people being successful and then turning around and reinvesting in the community. David has bought a building on Piedmont and almost Roswell Road, Lenox area, yeah. And that's where the Atlanta Business Chronicle's offices are. He's bought an entire building, and he's calling it Tech Village. And I had the chance to look at the building last week with David, and I hope to have David on the show in the next couple of weeks talking about that. Last week, hundreds and hundreds of people gathered for Startup Riot down at the Biltmore in the hippopotamus space, where they're attracting a lot of buzz in the community. And as I said, we could spend the entire hour just hitting some of the highlights, but we got a very special guest, and I want to get to her just as quickly as possible. Booth 61 is proud to be affiliated with two of Atlanta's most influential organizations in the not-for-profit space. Many of you are familiar with TechBridge and the Atlanta CEO Council, and these two organizations have come on board, and we're going to be doing a lot of stuff together. As a matter of fact, soon we'll be doing a remote broadcast at one of the Atlanta CEO Council meetings. And we're really excited. I'm personally excited that transportation for all of our guests is being provided by Uber, which Uber Cars is everyone's chauffeur. And many people have read about Uber. They're at www.uber.com. And kind of exciting, and it's going to make it, I think, a little bit more special for the guests that we have on the show on a regular basis. And, of course, I would be very lax if I did not thank, and hopefully they're listening, all my family at Hunter Technical Resources, really for their commitment to the technology community. This show, along with involvement at TechBridge and at many other associations in the community, kind of how they give back and have been doing since they created the company, and we're real excited. Well, today we are really very fortunate and blessed to have a very special guest with us this week. Miss Abby Kohut is known on the web. Many of you probably already familiar with Abby as Absolutely Abby. Abby's president of Staffing Symphony, and in the past 16 years, Abby has held positions such as Senior Director of Recruiting for Kaplan, Interim Director of Recruiting for Continuum, not easy for me to say, Health Partners, and Manager of Global Recruiting for Alpharma. Her website, absolutelyabby.com, and her book, Absolutely Abby's 100 Job Search Secrets, teaches candidates secrets about the job search process that other recruiters won't even bother to tell them. I've looked at Abby's website, and it is quite impressive. Abby has been interviewed by some of the big names in the business, and she's shared her job search tips on Fox 5 Business News, LinkedIn, Forbes, USA Today, at ABC's Good Morning Connecticut, and the Joe Franklin Show on Bloomberg Radio. Abby was actually selected by Monster as one of the nation's 11 career experts who can help your job search. Now, in the South, we say that's mighty high cotton, brother. Abby is also one of the 100 most influential people online, according to Fast Company magazine. Since 2010, Abby has been on a quest across the country to help 1 million job seekers. I had the privilege of hearing Abby speak this past Monday night to the Roswell United Methodist Church Job Seeker Group. And I watched Abby really hold an audience of over 300 people captive with insight, wisdom, and humor. And I have never seen a table so filled with people afterwards wanting to come up and just talk to her, pick up a copy of her book, get her autograph. It was quite fascinating. So without further ado, Absolutely Abby, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ricky. It's an honor to meet you. I've heard so much about you as well.
It's a great pleasure. I'd love to start off. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but I'd love to hear, where did Absolutely Abby come from? That name is unique.
You know, it's a really good story, actually. What happened is my husband and I were going to come up with a website. He's my web designer. And he said to me, why don't we come up with a site? Why don't we call it abbykohut.com? And I said, you know, that's good, but maybe there's better. So we started looking for what might fit with the word Abby. And there weren't that many things available. So we came up with about 5 different ones, and we sent them out to 20 people, our friends. And we said, you have 24 hours to tell us which site would be best. And the one that I wanted was abbyunplugged.com. And my friends voted for Absolutely Abby, so we went with it. And it turns out that that has really become my identity. Because I do teach candidates the absolute truth, and it's the perfect name, but I didn't know it when I first found it. So thanks to all those 20 people that helped me with that.
Well, that's great. We want to thank them all as well. I had the privilege of meeting Ken, Abby's husband, on Monday night. Fine fella. And he's got a tough job just keeping up with you, I would imagine.
He does. He doesn't get much sleep.
I wouldn't think so. Tell me about the Abby Across America tour. I mean, you're in an RV. You're traveling around the country. You tow an automobile that you ride around and speak. You've already spoken once today. I know you spoke yesterday. I saw you speak Monday night. Mm-hmm. You're putting a lot of miles on a lot of vehicles. Tell me about the tour and how it came about.
Yeah, we're definitely keeping Goodyear Tire in business. So the tour started because I've been speaking around New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, where I live. And I had a full-time recruiting job working about 40 to 50 hours a week. And during the evenings and weekends, I would drive around to groups in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and teach them the types of tips that you saw at Roswell. And I discovered that I wasn't able to help enough people because, mm-hmm. you know, you only meet so many people when it's a part-time gig. So I decided in 2012 that I wanted to really get out and meet 1 million people. And so we bought an RV, and we just started driving in September of 2012. And here we are in Atlanta. This is our second time back, and we're eventually going to make it to the West Coast. And we're going to be driving through 64 cities right now, but it could always grow. And the more cities that hear about it and want to invite me to come talk, the more cities will have Absolutely Abby talking to their job seekers.
And that would be www.absolutelyabby.com?
Yeah, that's my main site. And then the tour site is abbyacrossamerica.com.
Cool. Well, I'm sure that a lot of people will be reaching out to you from hearing this, not only today, but perhaps listening to it as a podcast sometime in the future. I would imagine just since September, you have met an extraordinary number of people. I saw you interacting with 300 again a couple of nights ago. Tell me how that's been. You met some, I'm sure, interesting people. Have you met any that are more interesting than others that you'd love to share with us?
Oh, have I? I've met tons of interesting people. Two that come to mind, I met just, I'd say last week when I was in Brevard County in Florida. I met the guy that went to bat to get the area code 321 approved in Titusville, Florida. So he went to bat for Titusville because Titusville is where the space shuttle program is. And he wanted something, you know, 321 liftoff, that
right.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So he went for the 321 area code, and he had to go up against a lot of people to get that area code approved. And then they got it approved. And he said, well, now that I got that, I'd like to have the phone number 321 liftoff. And they said, okay. They said, fine. And so that's his phone number, 321 liftoff.
Everyone call him today and thank him for that. I'm sure he'll be thrilled to hear from all of us.
Oh, he would. And he's funny because he's a confirmed geek. Like, he says, I'm a geek, and he's very proud to be a geek. And he would probably love it if you would all call him at 321 liftoff and tell him, Abby talked about you on the radio, and so now you're all famous and stuff. And she said we should call you. So that was one. All right, so that was cool. And then I met someone who told me that he invented the internet. So
you met Al Gore?
No, I didn't meet. I didn't actually meet Al Gore. I met a person who actually did invent the internet, and he told me that what happened was he was working and he was connecting a couple of computers back in the day when computers weren't talking to each other, and then I guess the Army or someone like that found out about it, and the Pentagon found out about it, and so then they asked him to start connecting his computers to them. And so little by little, computers started to connect, and it was all because he knew how to connect two computers together. So he claims that he invented the internet, and I actually believe him. Yeah.
That's fascinating. I have heard Bob Metcalf speak, who is going to be in Atlanta not too long from now, speaking at a Technology Association of Georgia meeting. He was there in the early, early days. And I most recently heard a fascinating man from Washington, D.C., by the name of Joel Brenner, who actually was the adjutant general at the, I guess, the branch of the government that the CIA, Jack Bauer would work for him, FBI, Secret Service, all report. And he was making a presentation, and something that I didn't even think back or realize, the internet up until 1992 was strictly government and academic. It was against the law to do any business or have any sort of corporate involvement. Now, 1992 to 2002 or 2012, it's only 20 years. And his whole point was the problem that we're having with the spying and all of the destruction being done across the internet is because there's no protocol in place. So it was really fascinating. But let's get back to the subject at hand and recruiting. And that is two very interesting people that you've met. What is your goal when it's all said and done after you meet your millionth person and shake hands with them?
You know what? It's really hard to count to a million because I can give people tips live, and I can also give people tips on the phone, and I can do teleseminars and webinars, and also I do radio shows where I give out tips, like today we'll probably give out some tips. So I can't really tell you exactly how many people I've met, but I know I haven't met a million, and so I'm going to continue to drive until I can't see any reason to drive anymore, and to be honest, I really don't know when that's going to be. So right now the tour is supposed to end in December of 2013. I have no idea what we're going to be doing at the end of it. It could keep going. I just have no idea. But I just know that this is where I need to be right now, and I cannot tell you how much fun this is, meeting all these great people. And it's just great. I'm seeing all these new cities, and everybody I meet is just so interesting. I met a geologist the other night. I've never met a geologist. I met a meteorologist the other night. So just fabulous, fascinating professions and great people of all levels. So it's really very rewarding.
Well, you know the queen of recruiting in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, yes, I do.
And she was kind enough to introduce the two of us, Ruthie Powell. If you are in the Atlanta listening area and you do not know Ruthie Powell, you are not in the Atlanta listening area.
That's very true. You must know Ruthie Powell. She is the queen of recruiting, and she's introduced me to a lot of fabulous people, including you. And you definitely need to get on the Ruthie's list. So definitely go Google that.
No question. Ruthie's list, there are many people in the recruiting industry that even recruiting companies that are interviewing folks to come to work for them. And their first question is, tell me about Ruthie's list. And if you can't answer that question, the interview is over with. So
it's
Ruthie's
funny.
Powerful.
I knew the Ruthie's list from New York. Mm-hmm. So she's not just popular in Atlanta. She's popular everywhere.
She certainly is. And we share a very, very special friend. We were talking earlier today, Hunter Technical Resources, we're an IT staffing firm, and I spend my time, and the listeners of this show will mostly be, I think, in people in technology. The unemployment today is somewhat in the 8% neighborhood, yet in technology, we're closer to 2%. If you look at .NET, perhaps Java, mobile platforms, there are actually more jobs than there are people. Now, I would assume most audience you speak to maybe fit in the 8% category.
Definitely.
But if you were talking to the 2%, and many of those aren't even job seekers, they're currently employed somewhere, and we have to, Hunter or other staffing firms or companies, have to go in and find those individuals and extract them from where they currently are. Any advice to somebody that is not looking for a job, but maybe would not mind being sought for an interesting position?
Sure. Well, whether you're looking for a job or not looking for a job, you need to make sure you have a good LinkedIn profile, because you may not be looking for a job right now, but it's not bad to have a headhunter reach out to you even when you're not looking for a job, because they may have something really exciting to talk to you about. And if they can't find you, then they can't call you. So you definitely want to have a LinkedIn profile, especially for technical folks. You want to make sure you have those keywords all through your profile, not just once, but multiple times, more times than your competition has them there. So if you are a Java person, a Java programmer, then you definitely want to say the word Java on your profile, but you want to say it multiple times, because then you'll show up higher up in the search if a headhunter should be looking for you. And again, if you're looking for a job, that's good. If you're not looking for a job, it's still good. LinkedIn is a great tool, and it's not a job search tool. It's a networking tool, and you are the king of networking in Atlanta. So you know that you should be on LinkedIn whether you're looking or not, because it's a great tool to help you meet other people. And when you are looking for a job, that's when you're going to need to network. So you might as well build your network now.
I agree 100%. I have, from time to time in presentations, I'll do something on social networking or LinkedIn, and I'll usually ask the audience the question, will anybody admit that they are not on LinkedIn? And occasionally somebody will raise their hand, and I just say, you know, now would be a great time for you to leave, because going home and getting on LinkedIn is more important than anything I'm going to say.
<That's>
this is an opportunity for you to change your life, and LinkedIn has been a game changer. Had there been social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and all the great social media tools that we have back in 1974 when my career started, we wouldn't be on radio today. I would be at the beach, laying there sipping a pina colada or something. I would be retired. But if you're not taking advantage of LinkedIn and the different social aspects of networking, then you're really missing you're missing the entire boat, the game, the whole show. Give me an idea when you say, in addition to listing Java several places, what are some other things in LinkedIn that you have used either for people seeking a job that do not have one currently, or maybe are thinking about getting into the search area and not happy with where they are for whatever reason?
Well, one thing you can do is, well, we have the recommendation section.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you and your firm, but I know other recruiters that won't take someone seriously if they don't have three recommendations. They won't even talk to them. So you definitely want to make sure you have three recommendations. But one thing that you can do that's a little bit outside the box is you can take a get somebody to videotape and have a testimonial of some have somebody do a testimonial for you and get that on videotape and then paste it into YouTube and then get that attached to your LinkedIn profile so that when someone comes to your profile, there's some big head talking about how fantastic you are. That's something that is so different that most people don't do. And it's just, why not? Even if you're not looking, again, even if you're not looking for a job, I doubt you would be upset if someone called and said, I'd like to offer you a director level position with $100,000 more than you're making because I loved your testimonial, I loved your recommendations, and I love your background. So doing things like that that are outside the box can always help you.
I hope my boss is not listening because if they call me today on that same question, I may have to listen as well. So
exactly. We all would. Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I love that video because seeing something is believing something, and I like that. I have certainly connected URLs to my LinkedIn profile, but I've never connected a video. And again, you're not asking for a job. You're sharing your expertise, your technical expertise, and this is what I like doing, and this is who I am, and this is what I've been doing at X, Y, and Z company. That, to me, that's brilliant, Abby. I love that. Thank you very much.
Well, and you know, another thing you could do is you could do a PowerPoint, like do a slide deck of what you know, and maybe even put graphics of things that you've done, and put that slide deck, the same thing, on LinkedIn. And then people will see that. So they could hear someone talking about you and they could see a slide project, that slide deck about what you know. So those are good things you can try. But again, not just because you're looking for a job, it's sort of your story. That's what I like to explain LinkedIn as this is your story. It's about you. It's not your resume. So your resume is kind of boring. It's just what you've done. But LinkedIn, you got picture, you got things you can put in there and websites you can link to and just interesting things that you can talk about there.
How about Facebook? Do you recommend that as something for potential job seekers or those, or do you stick that just for personal life?
Yeah, I'm probably different than most people. I actually think it's a good thing. And the reason is there's 800 million people the last time I checked on Facebook, and there's only 200 million on LinkedIn. So I believe recruiters would use Facebook to find people, since if there's 800 million people, why not? It's free. But the problem is most people don't put keywords in their profile. So if you're a Java programmer, you probably didn't say that you were a Java programmer, so we would never be able to find you. So I always recommend to people that they put keywords into their Facebook profile. And also make sure you don't have pictures of yourself dressed up like SpongeBob hanging from a chandelier. You know, put pictures put pictures of you and your friends. That's cool. And pictures of you getting awards and whatever. But no ridiculous pictures. And by the way, if you put a picture on LinkedIn, it should be a picture of you, not you and your dog.
So the picture of the I speak to a lot of the MBA programs around town, and I suggest to them that the picture of the funnel stuck halfway down their throat holding a blunted cigarette in their hands, if they put it on the internet one time, it only stays there for eternity.
Exactly.
Only for eternity. That's
exactly.
All.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to be really careful with the pictures you choose. And yes, I know people put pictures on your wall. People put pictures on my wall all the time. They put stuff on my wall. I just watch my wall every day. I'm checking my wall, and I take stuff off that I don't want to be there. So you can clean up your wall. But you should have a Facebook profile because everybody does. But you have to have those keywords on there if you want anybody to ever find you in a professional environment.
Sure. If anyone's listening live right now and have a question for Abby or me or would like to make a comment, you can send me an email to Ricky, R-I-C-K-Y, at htrjobs.com. Ricky at htrjobs.com. And I've got my computer whizzed up, and we will ask Abby or share any information and go from there. Abby, tell me about how are you funding this tour? I didn't read about you winning the lottery. How are you making this happen? It sounds like a lot of tires and gasoline and oil and this, that, and the other. How are you doing all this?
It's a really good question.
Ken told me to ask it.
I bet he did. The tour is currently self-funded. We decided we were looking for sponsors and weren't able to acquire any. And simply because I guess people figured, who the heck is Absolutely Abby? And even though everyone in New Jersey knew me, people in Atlanta didn't know me. And so we had a little bit of difficulty, but we decided that we would get on tour anyway. And so we went and we purchased the RV on our own, and we're funding the entire tour on our own. However, I'm very fortunate because I still do get to do a little bit of recruiting on the side, and I do some career coaching on the side. I call it actually kidnap a recruiter. So people can kidnap me for about an hour on the phone, and I will tell them what's wrong with their LinkedIn profile, their resume, their cover letter, and I'll do a couple mock interview questions with them. So that's also helping me fund the tour. And then also I've been working with University of Phoenix, who has just released a new set of tools for current and prospective students to help connect the dots between education and career. And so I've been working with them as well.
Sounds exciting. So if someone wanted to speak to this million people in some way, shape, or form through some sponsorship, they would send you an email directly to
acohut@absolutelyabby.com.
That's K-O-H-U-T, acohut@absolutelyabby.com.
Yes, absolutelyabby.com, actually.
Absolutelyabby.com.
Everybody says Absolute Abby. So we actually own that domain, too, just in case.
Well, you get it either way.
Yeah.
Well, of course, most people in a job situation actually have a bottle of Absolute sitting in front of them.
I know
because
that.
They're...
I know that. That's why we've got it.
Very, very, very smart.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different categories of job seeker out there. What has been your experience over the years as a corporate recruiter? The best way for them to reach out to you, if someone actually is made a decision to go out and seek a job, you talked a little bit about LinkedIn. What other ways could they do something unusual or unique to get your attention as a corporate recruiter, or perhaps someone that works within Hunter or one of the other IT staffing firms to get above the fray, if you will?
Honestly, what I go out and I teach job seekers is to go straight to the hiring manager, because I believe in my position, I want people to do what I tell them to do, which is apply online, apply through this website. I want you to kind of follow the rules and stay in my little box. But what happens is if you go directly to a hiring manager, you can get the hiring manager to actually look at your resume. Because the thing is, I'm not a technical recruiter. I don't know. I mean, I kind of know what Java is, but I don't really know what Java is. So I can't really determine if you are the best Java programmer from a resume. I mean, I can try, but the hiring manager knows very well. And so I might turn someone away. I might reject a resume by mistake. And so if you get yourself to the hiring manager, that way you can be sure that that person who actually knows what they're looking for is looking at your resume. And I teach people how to go through LinkedIn to find that hiring manager and to send the resume directly to them. And you can do that by mail. I know that sounds ridiculous. Or by fax, which sounds even more ridiculous. But because no one else is doing it, you'll actually get noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be really good, send it FedEx, because then you'll really be noticed. And so that's what I teach a lot of the unemployed job seekers. But it would work well for someone who's employed as well.
Very interesting. Again, as you've been on the tour, you've told us about some of the individuals you met. What are some of the success stories of people that you've heard from a week later, a month later, as to what's happened in their life after hearing you?
Okay, well, so one person, since we were just talking about the facts, I once went to a group back in New Jersey, actually, and I said, you need to fax your resume. And someone actually did that and got a job a week after I spoke.
Wow.
So that was really cool. So because of that, I realize it works. Therefore, I talk about it all the time. There's someone else who heard me talk about LinkedIn, which I'm doing this LinkedIn presentation all throughout Atlanta, by the way. And so someone else heard that LinkedIn presentation, went to the presentation, heard me tell them exactly what to do during that presentation, and then did it that very night. 2 days later, they received a call from FedEx, and they had been a job seeker for a year. They were looking for a sales position, and they hadn't had any luck. So FedEx called them, and asked them if they'd be interested, and now they're working for FedEx. That was a week after I spoke. So if you actually go and try some of the things that I talk about, some of the things are a little bit crazy, a little bit outside the box, but if you go and do them, something like this can happen to you in a week. And some people have been looking for a year or 2 years that I speak to, and that's really makes me terribly sad. And I'm here to help. And so just try something that I tell you and see if it can work for you. And you can't just try it once, by the way. You have to try it multiple times because you may not have the right person when you fax a resume or, you know.
You used a couple of examples of Monday night, both very, very unique for someone trying to break through the clutter. And if you would share those, because I thought both of them were very good. One had to do with a shoe, and the one before that was even more clever.
Yes. Okay, so one person recently stood up at a job search group because I said, has anyone ever tried anything unique? And she stood up and she said, what I did is I went to the cookie store and I asked for a cookie and icing in the shape of a clock. So she got 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, all the numbers on the clock. And then she sent the cookie to the hiring manager and she said, it's time to hire Leslie. And the hiring manager called her and offered her the job.
Wow.
So this is after she had been interviewed. Okay, so that was just so cool to learn. And because what I've been talking about all these years, I mean, long before I was Absolutely Abby, is that you have to send people things in the mail. So one idea is to send people a shoe, baby shoe or something. Please don't send one of your smelly old shoes. So a shoe, like a baby shoe, a sneaker that you buy in the store for like $2 and say, I'm just trying to get my foot in the door. Now, it's funny because you, most of the listeners here are IT, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think when I talk about these things, it's only good for marketing companies, right? But unfortunately, it's wrong. It's totally good for any companies. So what happened is I had this friend who was an actuary, and he really wanted to become a financial analyst. And he had no work experience as a financial analyst. He only had hobbies. So at night, evenings, weekends, that's all he did was financial analysis. So what he did is he put his resume in a FedEx envelope with an egg timer, like this, the hourglass thing that you have in Boggle, and put that in the FedEx envelope and said, if you give me this much time, I'll prove to you that I can be the best financial analyst you've ever had. So then on Monday, he called the hiring manager and said, I'd like to come in for an interview. And the hiring manager said, you got to go through HR. And he said, no, I'm the one who sent you the egg timer. And he said, all right, whatever, just come in. Like, he was totally annoyed. And he went in, and he totally wowed the guy and got the job, and now he's a vice president there.
Good gracious.
And this was for Moody's Financial Services. So this is blue suit, white shirt, Moody's. So this can work in any industry if you get the right person to receive it. Now, I know someone else who sent 8 shoes and got 8 responses.
Wow.
There's nothing else you can do that gets you 100% response. Now, you may not get 100%, but what if you got 50? There's nothing you're doing right now that's getting you 50.
And you could also be able to provide the shoes for a centipede with 8 shoes
or
larger.
Totally. Or an octopus.
It's very exciting that the fellows in financial services, because most of those folks are kind of introverted. And
exactly.
It's always nice to see someone that's a little outgoing in the financial services. Once had an accountant that was he was very outgoing. As a matter of fact, when he talked to you, he would look at your shoes rather than his own. So you knew he was really an outgoing accountant. So really a dynamic guy.
Really dynamic. Excellent.
Abby, you were talking about LinkedIn earlier, and I was surprised to know that you mentioned all these cool things you could do. You did not mention connections once. When I talk to business people all the time, all they're like, well, I have this many connections. Is that really that important when it comes to LinkedIn?
The reason it's important to have a certain number of connections. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's important to have 50 connections. If you have 50, it would be better to have 100. If you have 100, it'd be better to have 200. Because let's say you only have 5 connections, mm-hmm. you can't find people easily because they'll be outside your network, and LinkedIn only allows you to network with people inside your network. So if you have 50 people in your network, you'll see a much greater number of people. And that means that if you can't see a lot of people, they can't see you. That's why it needs to be bigger.
So would you suggest just randomly trying to invite a bunch of people, or do you want to invite the right kind of people and the people you actually know?
everybody needs to develop their own LinkedIn strategy.
Okay.
So some people, so I'm what's called a LinkedIn open networker, which means anybody and everybody can send me an invitation. Why? Because I'm a recruiter. I need to know everybody and anybody. But there are other people that will only connect with you if they've had coffee with you. There are other people that will connect with you if they've met you, if they've received your business card. So you have to develop your own LinkedIn strategy, and whatever works best for you is best.
Okay. And you also were talking about Facebook earlier. I was curious about the people that have the crazy Facebook profiles. They don't want recruiters to find it. Is there any way to hide your Facebook profile so they can't find those pictures?
You know what? You can set all your privacy settings so that no one can see you, but I can't swear that no one can see you.
Oh, I know that for sure. We were looking to hire some people, and I found them dressed up in costumes. And
yeah.
That, to me, I just make fun of them now.
Yeah, and you should. It's only fair. Mm-hmm. If you're going to put costumes up there, you have to believe someone might see it that shouldn't see it. So just don't put those pictures up there. Save them. Save them.
Save them. Frame them. Put them in your house.
Whatever. Just don't put them on Facebook because someone's going to find them. I'm just telling you. You're going to be friends with someone, and then all of a sudden you're going to be not friends, and they're going to take that picture and send it all across the web. That's just what's going to happen. So don't put it up there if you're worried about it.
And do you give any tips to millennials by any chance? Because I know they're a lot different than anyone else trying to find jobs right now. Or do you give recruiters tips to how to handle millennials? Because they're just a different breed of animal when it comes to trying to find a job.
Yeah, a lot of them like to text me, and it's very weird when I get a text from a candidate. My recommendation for them is, I know that texting is what you do, but you have to figure out what the recruiters are doing that you're working with, and most of them are not millennials, so you need to communicate. First, you need to be able to communicate in sentences that don't have only LOL and the word you spelled like the word you. So you have to learn how to communicate in complete sentences and write complete sentences and speak complete sentences. And practice that before you start looking for a job. That would be a good idea.
Wow, great advice.
Thanks.
There are so many. I've had a chance to run through your book, and of the 101 job search secrets, what are two or three that you think would be very, very good to share with the audience before we cut out of here and let you fight some of the Atlanta traffic for a while?
All right. So one of them is a LinkedIn secret, which I talk about in my presentations. And it's about having a current job. So if you happen to be unemployed at this point, you need to set up a current job on LinkedIn. And what you need to do is to put in that current job the title that you're looking, the types of jobs that you're looking for. So let's say you're looking to be an IT manager or an IT director or VP of IT. You can actually put all three of them in the title. So you would say IT manager or IT director or VP of IT. And then the dates of that job would simply be whenever you were laid off to the present. And that gives you a current job on LinkedIn. And then you just write stuff about, you know, what you're looking for. I'm looking for a head of IT position to do this, that, and the other thing. But then you need a company name, right? Because you don't have a company. You're not working for a company. So in that spot for company, you can put either something like free agent, or you can put in currently seeking an IT position, currently seeking a fabulous position, currently seeking a tremendous position in IT in Atlanta. Or you can put your phone number as your company name. I thought that was brilliant. That came from one of my audience members.
Mm-hmm.
So then it would say, I'm an IT manager or director or VP of IT at 917-209 blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. Because what happens is recruiters will then find you if they're searching for a current somebody. And so that's a major secret that I have. And the other one, it's about those keywords. There are people out there that speak two languages, and they're bilingual, let's say in Portuguese. And people think that because maybe their name sounds Portuguese, that they don't need to tell us that they speak Portuguese. But the problem is recruiters like you and I are searching online. We're not searching with our eyes anymore. The computers are making decisions for us. And so if you don't say that you're bilingual on your resume, we'll never know, and you'll never come up in the search, and that will be the end of you. So, and the other thing is most people, if they remember to say it once, you need to say it twice because everyone else says it once. So if you say it twice, you'll go to the top of the stack. you'll be easier found by people like you and I.
Mm-hmm. I found on LinkedIn, we talked about it briefly a few minutes ago, but the more connections you can have, needless to say, the better off you are. But as Kevin was saying, it's the quality of the connections. And I've got a friend who I think is the top 5 or 6 female LinkedIn people in the entire world. And I asked her, I said, Jenny, how many of these people do you actually know? She said, you know, 200, 500,000, whatever it might be. I'm, on the other hand, maybe have 18, 1900. I'm not sure exactly. Somebody can go look Ricky Steele on LinkedIn. But I would say I've had lunch or breakfast or broken bread with 90% of them. That's different kind of relationships because I'm building them for one set of reasons, and she is trying to meet as many people like you do, being an open networker. But what I found is sending blind resumes or even looking at positions without having some connections is almost futile. I mean, it's too many people. And if you have enough connections in LinkedIn, you ought to be able to do some searches to find people that have something in common, either at the same company or they all went to school at the University of Georgia or Georgia Tech or Bowling Green or whatever the case. And if you can get 2 or 3 people to introduce you, you know, it's if I tell you that Argo is a great movie, you might say, well, it's nominated for Academy Award, wins an Academy Award. I guess it probably is. But if 60 of your friends tell you it's a great movie, then you're going to be out that weekend, you know, watching it. It's the same thing in a job situation. If 3 people introduce you to the opportunity or call someone on your behalf, that beats the heck out of 1 or even 2. So I think that's the power of LinkedIn that we probably don't use near often enough.
That's for sure. I think most people don't know how to use it, don't even know why they're there. And that's why I'm out driving around the country, is to teach people this is a huge, wonderful tool that you have, and it's free. So I'm trying to teach people how to use it. And it's true that I do have a very large network, that I don't know everybody, but I probably have met every single person in my network at some point. And it's true that there are some people in my network that I know very well, and those are the people that I usually ask for help when I need to get from one place, from one person to another. So the benefit is you should have at least probably 100 people in your network, but if you can get more, it's even better, again, so people can find you.
Abby, as we get ready to close, what's one thing you want everyone to hear, whether you're a job seeker, whether you own a company, whether you're a recruiter, no matter where you are in life, what is your one gotcha that you think everybody should get today?
I guess the biggest thing, Ricky, is probably what you're all about. It's about networking. Because the fact is, networking has changed my life. I met you just 2 days ago, and I already feel like we're fast friends. I met Ruthie Powell, the queen of recruiting, just a couple months ago. And, I mean, these people are special people in my life now. And everybody I meet on my tour, I consider my new friend. And that's been so fascinating for me. And just my whole world has changed and grown because of this tour. So I recommend that everyone get out and do some networking. It's going to help you, whether you're looking for a job, whether you're enjoying your job, whatever. I mean, it can help you if you suddenly have a disease, right? And you want to network with people that have the same disease. Or you know someone, a friend of mine has a story about his son that had autism when he was born. And he used networking in order to basically cure his son. I mean, it's really a miraculous type of story. But that was all networking, had nothing to do with job search. So my advice to you is network and get to know people in Atlanta, get to know people outside of Atlanta. This world has gotten so much smaller because of social media, and it's wonderful because you can meet fabulous people.
No question. Well, Abby, it has been a great joy and a privilege to have you, and thank Ken for bringing you and for your tour across the country. And I know folks that had a chance to listen today and will listen later will be very thankful they had this opportunity. And I really appreciate what you're doing, going around and sharing this message. And, you know, if there's anyone that would like to think about sponsoring this tour or getting to know Abby or finding out where she's going to be tomorrow, because she's going to be speaking in Atlanta over the next several days and next week maybe in Kentucky or Louisiana or wherever the case might be, again, we want them to go to
AbbyAcrossAmerica.com. So it's ABBY AcrossAmerica.com. And you can see my tour locations, but you can also click on the word events And that's how you can find out exactly where I'm going to be on exactly what days, and you can come meet me. And you can also, there's a section called Lend a Hand, and that's how you can contact me. So if you do want to sponsor the tour, or if you want me to come speak somewhere, or whatever it is that you need me to do for you, you can just put that right in there.
And is there a place they can find your book?
Sure, of course. They can go to 101jobsearchsecrets.com. My book is on there. And I will get you a copy right away. One other thing, I have a special deal for you guys that are listening. I did two teleseminars. One is a teleseminar on how to work with headhunters, and the other is on how to interview. And what I'd like to do is offer that to your listeners.
Great.
So it's a free teleseminar, both of them. And in order to get it, someone just has to email me. So you just email me at akohut@absolutelyabby.com, A-K-O-H-U-T at absolutelyabby.com, and I'll send you those two free teleseminars.
That is fantastic. We'll post that on the show website, and we'll distribute it. That is very, very kind. Thank you very much, Abby.
You're welcome.
Kevin, anything?
No, what a great first show. I learned a lot.
It's been a lot of fun. I am Ricky Steele. You're in booth 61. We're honored to have you. My coffee cup's dry. It's about time to go. And today's benediction will be from the Book of Numbers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Have a great day.